With the official opening of the 2012 Olympic Games in London, England upon us, the Catholic Church is working together with organizers to guarantee that the spiritual needs of all attendees can be met. There is a prayer room at every venue, and the Olympic Village has a large center dedicated to serving people of all religions, with a common lounge and specific areas for the world's five largest religious groups. A Benedictine monk of Worth Abbey, Father Christopher Jameson, is the only Catholic priest to serve as chaplain to the 25,000 journalists who are covering the games. He spoke with Vatican Radio's Lydia O'Kane about the rationale behind the focus on religion in the modern games.
So within the Olympic bid, you have to offer to provide multi-faith chaplaincy services, primarily for the world's main five religions, but in London that's been extended to the world's main nine religions. And the thinking behind this is that the Olympic athletes' village must contain a support network which supports all aspects of the athletes' lives. So, for example, there has to be food from every possible cuisine of the world provided there, and it has to be provided 24 hours a day. So if you take that as a model of sustaining the bodies of the athletes, which is very obvious, but also you have to sustain the spirits of the athletes. And so that's why the Olympic bid has always said people must have access to their normal support networks of religious life and spirituality. And that's why it's an inherent part of the bid that you have to make.
The role of the chaplain, what do you think is the most important aspect of that role?
I think that in the Olympic Village, which is where most of the chaplaincy occurs, the role is to provide a place of sanctuary for the athletes, because the pressure they're under is just extraordinary. And so they need to have somewhere they can go and where their spirits can be calmed, where their spirits can be encouraged, because there'll also be, as always, there'll be more losers than winners. So there has to be a place where they can go to find consolation and support. And of course, everything that happens in that chaplaincy context is completely confidential. The media have no access to that. And similarly, chaplains are obviously forbidden from speaking about that to the media. So they know there's a safe place. So it's to create a safe place where they can express their religious faith and find support for their failures and celebration of their successes.
You talked about the chaplain with regard to the athletes, but a person who's decided to come to the Olympic Games to take it all in, can they go into a chaplain, or is it just mainly for the athletes?
It's mainly for the athletes, because the flip side of the requirement to provide chaplaincy to the athletes is that one of the key principles of the Games is that the Games shall be free from all political and religious influence. And so you'll find that when you go out into the stadia, to the venues in the Olympic Park in Stratford, you will not find any religious signs there at all. So there's this paradox, and it's quite a fine line that we tread providing chaplaincy to the Games. We provide a service to the athletes who ask for it. We're not there to proselytize among the crowds coming to the Olympics. Having said that, there is the wonderful organization More Than Gold, who I think you've interviewed before, who are doing a great deal around the Olympic Park to reach out to the crowds who are coming to give them the good news of Christ, and also to provide them with free cups of water, for example, because there's quite a lot of walking to get to the stadium, to provide them with a place to sit down, and some of them will be from far away from home, to talk to them, to provide friendship, because, you know, you can be very lonely in a crowd. So the local churches are doing that greater outreach, while the chaplaincy is providing that quieter, more discreet support to the athletes.
There are many athletes, therefore you need many chaplains. You have a particular title. You are chaplain to the media. Talk to us a bit about that.
Well, there are 190 Olympic chaplains in total, which is a figure that always surprises people, because that's a lot of chaplains. Now, that relates to the nine great religions of the world. And within that, we have 25 Catholic chaplains. And I'm the only one of those who's been seconded specially to the media centre. This is the first time we've ever had chaplaincy to the media. And it's a bit of a surprise, not only to others, but indeed to me, as to why we have chaplaincy to the media. It goes like this. There are 25,000 journalists, broadcasters, and technicians in the Olympic Media Center. That is a lot of people. It has two buildings. One is the International Broadcast Center, which is half a kilometer wide, and the other is the main press center. And within those two, between those two buildings, there is a high street, literally a high street. And on that high street, there is a bank, a post office, a beauty salon, you name it, it's there. And the thinking is that we should also provide chaplaincy on that high street so that the high street offers to the media what they'd expect to find in a high street at home. And so the feeling was that in the London Olympics, as an extra service to the media, these 25,000 people, we would also provide chaplaincy on a smaller scale than in the Olympic Village, but as a bit of an experiment, really. And so it's a London contribution to the Games to provide chaplaincy to the media to see whether that will become a permanent part of the Games.
So if you're a chaplain to the media, are there different chaplains for the different disciplines of sport?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that the different chaplaincies will have between them people with specialisms in different sports. So, for example, I've been delighted to discover that within the media chaplaincy team, we have a former Olympian who competed in the Olympics in marathon walking. And he's remarkably fit and still very interested. And it's interesting how he brings something rather special to the process. And I think among the other chaplains, those 190 chaplains, will find people who have experience of sport, certainly, that they'll bring to it. But the main thing being offered is to provide chaplains from the different religions and the different Christian denominations.
Something I was just going to come to. I mean, the Olympic Games, everyone hears about the Olympic Games, about all cultures coming together, but it's also very much an event, an ecumenical event, if you will, and an interreligious event, because there are so many religions coming to one place at one time.
One aspect of the Olympics that's downplayed, really, and should be better known, is the Olympic values. These Olympic values like friendship, respect, and excellence. So if you look at friendship and respect, that plays straight into the agenda of respecting other people's religions, offering friendship to everybody who comes. And really, chaplaincy is very strongly in support of those Olympic values. Now, looking at the negative side of the Games, there's always a lot of publicity around about that the Games have become all about corporate sponsorship, they're all about greedy people trying to cash in and so on. And what I say is this, look, it's part of the Catholic tradition that where there is goodness, where the Holy Spirit is at work, the demons gather to try and prevent it becoming complete. And so it's not surprising that if around the world's greatest sporting event, where, you know, 11,000 athletes are coming to London to show excellence in their bodily achievements, and we think very much of the theology of the body at this point, you know. This is something to celebrate the extraordinary achievements of the human body and to do that in a way where there's competition without violence and conflict in a peaceful way. So to celebrate the achievements of the human body in a peaceful way, of course the demons are going to gather around that. And if there's some greed around that and some vying for position and so on, that I think is not to be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised by that. But I think the dominant qualities are going to be those Olympic values, the excellence of the sport, and I think we're going to find that actually the demons are going to retire because around this they're going to go to the background, because when the sport starts, I think we'll all be swept up into the excitement of that.
I just wanted to bring in, because everyone talks about the Olympics, and although it's called the London Games and the 2012 Games, sometimes the Paralympics gets a little bit left out. For this Games, though, it seems to have taken on quite a lot. There's been a lot of publicity, which a lot of good publicity about the Paralympics. But again, the role of chaplains will be the same during the Paralympics as well.
Yes, the chaplaincy teams will continue. There'll be some changes of personnel, but the chaplaincy teams will continue, especially for the athletes. But you're absolutely right. It's very striking that all the announcements are about the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games in one breath. And secondly, there have been achievements on the media side. The media coverage of the Paralympics is going to be the greatest ever. For example, China Television is staying on to broadcast the Olympic Games, obviously a very significant broadcaster. And in Britain, Channel 4 is continuing to broadcast the Paralympics too. So these are really quite significant steps forward. We've also got some wonderful Paralympians of faith, great people of faith. In Britain, we have the lovely Steph Reed, who is a woman of great Christian faith, who lost half a leg when she was a teenager. And, you know, it's so inspiring to hear her talk about her athletics and her faith in Christ. So I think it's, I think you're right. I think the Paralympics this year is going to be one to watch.
There has been a bit of, shall we put it, bad publicity coming up to the Games, especially with around the security aspect of the Games. Has that put a dampener on the Games, or do you think once they start, it'll all be forgotten, and once the medals start being given out, that it'll, you know, things will kind of have calmed down at that stage?
The people organising the Games at the grassroots level, I can tell you, have not been fazed by it at all. Partly they're too busy getting on to deliver an excellent Games. And secondly, they know that security has been an issue from day one. For example, we arrived at the park to start setting up at the beginning of July, and we found the military were running the security at the gates. And this was before the whole issue around the lack of security guards being recruited had come up. So we were used to the idea that the military were running the security into the park, and of course we're very reassured by that. Also, there are military outposts around the park, at key areas around the park. There are military outposts. I won't say where they are, but they are there, and again, that's quite reassuring. So, you know, I think the military were always going to be part of the security of the Games. There were always going to be more military personnel than contract personnel. It's just there'll now be even more military personnel, and that's not a surprise.
Just leading up to the Games themselves, I mean, we at Vatican Radio have been covering different aspects, and you kind of get surprised when you see so many people working in different areas to make the Games a success. For instance, even for homeless people while the Olympic Games are on, with things with regard to human trafficking, there's so many things being thought of with regard to these Games.
It is the greatest event on the planet. I mean, it really is extraordinary in that sense, the thinking around it, the attempt to make sure that this is the best of humanity and that the worst of humanity is not given a chance to exploit it, is really quite extraordinary. And I think that those qualities that you pick out, that the sheer thoughtfulness, for example, there's a whole dimension of sustainability in the London Olympics, which is very striking. The thought that's gone into the legacy and also the sustainability. So, for example, our chaplaincy, little chaplaincy, we were told off for doing too much photocopying. You know, we shouldn't be wasting the paper, and because they're so concerned about sustainability. So, you know, at every level, from the little one like that right through to the major level of the plantings in the park, the extraordinary attention to wildflowers in the area there, and the legacy afterwards on this great scale. These are really quite striking how much thought's gone into it. And I think it really is a great tribute to the great ethical qualities of the people running it. As I said, they get a lot of knocking about greed and so on, but if you look at the positive dimensions, actually that's really, really impressive.
You were talking a bit about there about how maybe the gleam kind of going off the Olympics, but that said, do you think that the key message of the Olympic Games, the spirit of the Olympic Games, Paralympic Games, is still there?
We can only find that out once it starts, can't we? You know, but I think there will be those moments, you know, that we will all remember, whether it's, you know, the great sporting moments of who's going to win the 100 metres, the great sporting moments of, you know, the unknown athlete who comes to defeat all the stars, the new young athlete, all of these things will be there. But also I think we'll have those moments, you know, when an athlete will do something to help another athlete, like that extraordinary moment we now know about when a German athlete in the Berlin Olympics told Lewis Johnson how to set his starting blocks to get a better start. And so a German athlete helped the black man to win the gold medal under Hitler's nose, you know. These moments are extraordinary. you know, they say something quite deep about human nature at its best. And I think we'll have moments like that. But the extraordinary thing about the Games is none of us can predict all of these things. None of them can predict any of them. So the Games will have its own momentum that the sport will bring to it. And I think we'll be surprised and delighted by those moments. There'll probably be some moments that will make us feel embarrassed too. But I think the great moments will dominate. And I think that's where all the work that's created this context, this unique context for competition in a setting of friendship and respect, I think that's what will be the great event that we'll remember.